From XPR, Expat Progressive Radio, it's The Bill Show. Politics and commentary about the United States from expats overseas. Now, here's Bill.
And welcome to The Bill Show, friends and neighbors. It's been about 2 weeks since our last broadcast, and a lot of things happening in the world in the last 2 weeks. I hope that you've had a very pleasant last 2 weeks. I know that I had a really good time this weekend because I got to see Bruce Springsteen came to Australia. I'm glad some people come to Australia, but Bruce Springsteen came to Australia, and he's doing a tour here, and after playing to close to 70,000 fans in his Australian tour, he entertained myself and 17,000 people who managed to make it to Hanging Rock in Australia. And I'll tell you something, what a fantastic concert. The guy is absolutely amazing. This is my little conceit. If you do love Bruce Springsteen, of course, if you're my age, you grew up with him. And what an incredible concert. All I can say is it was just magical, magical. And Bruce Springsteen for Pope. That's my thing. Which, speaking of popes, we have a new one, if you've noticed. We do have a new pope. Pope Benedict decided that he quit. Evidently, he had taken a look at the scandals that were enveloping the Catholic Church and decided, well, no, I'm going to play some golf. So we now have Pope Francis. We're going to be talking a little bit about that and talking a little bit about the Catholic Church. This is not going to be a Catholic slagging match here. This is not a prejudice against Catholic. What we're going to look at is what is the Vatican doing, because I think that basically so many people, you really have to judge an institution by what it does. Just as we judge Barack Obama by what he does, we also have to judge the Catholic Church by what it does. And that does not mean that all people of the faith don't do fantastic work. Many, many of them do. But we have to take a good hard look at whether or not the new Pope Francis is going to make a difference when it comes to correcting the wrongs that we've seen in the Catholic bureaucracy for quite some time. We're going to talk a little bit about that. We're going to be talking to the other Bill. That's right. He's back from his hospital stay, and he's going to come by, and we're going to talk a little bit about what Bernie Sanders has been up to in the Senate lately. Some rather interesting issues to deal with in the Congress as the Supreme Court deliberates on gay rights. What a an incredible moment for everybody in the gay community, finding out whether DOMA will actually be struck down, the Defense of Marriage Act. But there's also other things going on in the Senate, and we're going to talk about them with our good friend, the other Bill. And finally, of course, we've got our tinfoil brigade, and not so much a funny one today, but probably you will know who we're talking about, and not unusually. This is somebody who breeds on controversy, and said something the other day about a good friend of the show, but we're not going to get into it now. I'll let you guess on who it might be. All this and more coming up in just one moment, kids.
That looks innocent enough, doesn't it? Lots of young people hitchhike. Seems like a good way to get from one place to another. But sometimes there are dangers involved that never meet the eye. So no matter where you meet a stranger, be careful if they are too friendly. One never knows when the homosexual is about. Let's take the case of Jimmy Barnes. Jimmy played baseball all afternoon, and he didn't feel like walking home, so he decided to thumb a ride. He'd done it 100 times before, and he didn't think anything was unusual when the driver struck up a friendly conversation. In fact, he seemed like a real nice guy. What Jimmy didn't know was that Ralph was sick, a sickness that was not visible like smallpox, but no less dangerous and contagious, a sickness of the mind. You see, Ralph was a homosexual, a person who demands an intimate relationship with members of their own sex. So no matter where you meet a stranger, be careful if they are too friendly, if they try to win your confidence too quickly, and if they become overly personal. One never knows when the homosexual is about. He may appear normal.
Yes, Ralph is a homosexual. And, Jimmy, he may take you to a Cher concert. That's from a 1950s instructional film on how to avoid fags. Isn't that nice? That's where we're at. Jimmy probably went to a Catholic church and talked to a priest about it. I'm not kidding you. Which brings us to the Catholic Church, ladies and gentlemen. Now, as I said before, this is not a slag on people who are Catholic. I grew up in Boston, so I have lots of Catholic friends. Most of them are kind of actually don't care one way or another on gay marriage, which is rather unusual considering the Catholic bureaucracy, you know, which has covered up the molestation and usually the gay molestation of young children for the past 10 years. So let's draw a line between people who are Catholic and people who are in charge of the Catholic Church. Because my problem, I guess, when I saw all this brouhaha, oh my God, it's white smoke. A bunch of white guys chose another white guy to lead a religion. Were you surprised? Oh, look, it's an old white guy. Now, if they had nominated Queen Latifah, then I would have been interested. Then I would have been interested. Anyway, let's talk a little bit about what's going on with the Catholic Church. Listen, as a person who has family members that are gay, and it's no big thing, because it's no big thing. Some people are gay, some people are straight, some people are bisexual, and asking gay people to become, you know, heterosexual is kind of like asking your, you know, a table to become a chair, and getting pissed off at the table because it doesn't become a chair. It's the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life. But brings us back to the Catholic Church. Everybody was kind of hoping that maybe with the new Pope, Pope Francis, I kind of want to call him Pope Frank, because I think there should be a Pope Frank. I think that's hilarious. Might be a little bit less prejudiced when it comes to gay people. But unfortunately, this comes out of the Washington Post. Pope Francis comes from one of only 11 countries where same-sex marriage is legal. In Argentina, where Cardinal Jorge Mario Bergoglio, that's Frank, chairman of the board, as he was known until Wednesday, was the Archbishop of Buenos Aires. The population is mostly Roman Catholic, and yet same-sex marriage became legal there in July 2010, a full year before the law changed in New York City. It is the first Latin American country to have marriage equality, yet any Catholics who were hoping that the new leadership would modernize even a little bit the church and its teachings when it comes to the issue of homosexuality, they're likely to be disappointed. Why? Well, evidently, Frank. We'll call him Frank from now on. He seems like a nice guy. Deluded, but nice. But I didn't think too much of this. He was a vocal opponent when gay marriage came up in Argentina. And in a private letter to the nuns, Frank was talking to the nuns, he said, "Let's not be naive. We're not talking about a simple political battle. It is a destructive pretension against the plan of God." All right, everybody get in one room. We're going to talk about our world invasion. Now, Larry, you're to redecorate everything. I want only Bette Midler played. Yes, the gay community has a plot against God. Okay, let's keep on going. This is great. I love this. We're not talking about a mere bill, but rather a machination of the father of lies. that seeks to confuse and deceive the children of God. Yes, that guy who who you know, or that girl you know, Evidently working for the bad boy downstairs. You know, he's actually working for the bad boy downstairs. He's got a decoder ring and everything. Working for Satan. So, evidently. Oh, I love the Catholic Church for comedy. Yeah, that's what he said. According to a National Catholic Reporter, Pope Francis has referred to adoption by gay parents as a form of discrimination against children. Really? Gee, Frank, I don't know. I think molesting kids is kind of a discrimination against children. I think covering it up for years and years and years and years and years, and moving pedophile priests from one congregation to the next in perpetuity, and obstructing the justice of local constabulary to prosecute child molesters, is kind of a discrimination against children. What do you think, Frank, huh? Yeah, okay. Everybody's sitting there going, oh, he's so humble and he doesn't wear, you know. Yeah, by the way, we're talking gay, right? Right? Have you seen, like, they made a big thing because evidently Frank, we call him Frank, Francis, Pope Francis, Pope Frank. I love the fact that you could change your name to anything. I'd be Pope Bubba. My name's Pope Bubba. From now on. Formerly known as Prince. What is he, a pop star? Anyway, so, yeah, where was I? All I'm saying is, if you're looking for gay, you know, go to the Catholic Church. I'm sorry. Seriously, one of the things that evidently Frank is being lauded for is being fantastic. Is that he's not wearing the usual vestal garments that the previous guy, you know, the guy who's off golfing now because evidently he quit. God told him to. And so he's out there. And I remember when he was wearing the vestal garments, I said, I found it highly ironic that someone who, when fully dressed, looks like a float in a gay pride parade, is in charge of an institution that hates gays. Have you seen the coronations? Please. There's a lot of gay there. People! To the left! To the left! Everyone in order! It's fantastic. A little to the right. Good. Love the flowers there. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. That's my own take on it. I just find it amusing. Listen, we were going to talk a little bit about how the Vatican made its money. So we know that they just, you know, they get very upset. Frank gets very upset, evidently. He thinks that the gay people are working for Satan. And I just want to kind of talk a little bit about, you know, who's closer to Satan. My family members who have an alternative lifestyle. Or this. How the Vatican built a secret property empire using Mussolini's millions. This was written Monday, the 21st of January, in The Guardian, and caught my attention, and because it basically happened at around the same time. Everyone was sitting there going, oh my God, he's so nice. Look at him washing feet. David Lay of The Guardian sat there, and he wrote this on how the Vatican has built up this huge property empire. They're like Donald Trump. They own crap loads of property all over the world. But they weren't always financially really viable. How did they get their money? Well, I'm going to skip just to a bit here. You can read the entire article at The Guardian. Look up David Lay, How the Vatican Built a Secret Property Empire Using Mussolini's Millions, is the name of the article. And it says, behind a disguised offshore company structure, the church's international portfolio has built up over the years using cash originally handed over by, and I swear to God, I literally dropped the paper, Benito Mussolini. You know, Hitler's girlfriend. In return for papal recognition of the Italian fascist regime in 1929. You're going to fucking lecture me on evil? Come on. Jesus Christ. Yes, that's right. The Catholic Church gave the thumbs up to Hitler's girlfriend for cash. Cool. Since then, the international value of the Mussolini nest egg has mounted until it now exceeds 500 million pounds. In 2006, at the height of the recent property bubble, the Vatican spent 15 million pounds of the funds to buy a place called 30 St. James Square. That's a huge property in England. Other UK properties include 168 New Bond Street in the city of Coventry. It also owns blocks of flats in Paris, in Switzerland. Ultimate control is recorded as being exercised by a Swiss company, Profima SA. Now, get this. Profima SA was blacklisted by the Allies in World War II. Jesus Christ. British wartime records from the National Archives in Kew complete the picture. They confirm the Profima SA as the Vatican's own holding company, accused at the time of engaging in activities contrary to the Allies' interest in World War II. Files from officials at Britain's Ministry of Economic Warfare at the end of the war criticized the Pope financier Bernardino Nogara. I think I got that right. Who controlled the investment of more than 50 million pounds cash from Mussolini. The Mussolini money was dramatically important to the Vatican's finances. John Pollard, a Cambridge historian, says in Money and the Rise of the Modern Papacy, the papacy was now financially secure, would never be poor again. Just a little note. In 1941 and 1943, during the 22-month existence of the province of Ljubljana, the Italian army ordered the deportation of 25,000 people. It equaled 7.5% of the total population of that town. The operation was the most drastic in Europe and filled up Italian concentration camps on the island of Rab in Gonars and Monigo and Renici. The survivors received no compensation from the Italian state after the war. But that's not all they did. What they did was summary executions, hostage taking, reprisals, internments, and burning of houses and villages. Under the watch of the Italian Second Army, the record of violence against Yugoslav populations easily matched the Germans. Tantamount to a declaration of war on civilians. One of the soldiers there on July 1st, 1942, said, "We have destroyed everything from top to bottom without sparing the innocent. We kill entire families every night, beating them to death or shooting them." Frank, if I may call you Frank, just a little advice. Don't you ever fucking ever lecture me on morality. Don't you ever fucking ever tell me that a relative of mine, because of his sexual preference, is going to hell. Because I'll tell you, there are a lot of people that are going to go to hell before he does. We'll be right back.
Look around you. One in four kids in the U.S. faces hunger. It's not always easy to see the signs, but in this land of plenty, there are kids that don't know where they will get their next meal. Join Share Our Strength in Food Network and take the pledge to end childhood hunger here in America by 2015. Learn how at nokidhungry.org. Their next meal could come from you.
Now it's time for Firing Line with the Doobills.
When I was up, actually, the other day, I missed Bill.
I missed him terribly. If you're familiar with the podcast, the other Bill I've been working with for about a year and a half. So he's recovering from surgery that he had recently, and I went up to his house, and we taped a segment together. And this segment deals with a subject near and dear to Bill's heart, which is why the banks keep screwing us. Why? What is too big to fail? What is this whole deal where that basically we can't regulate you anymore, and if you ever get into trouble, we can bail you out? Sounds like a raw deal to me. I don't know. Maybe I'm just reaching. So anyway, we had this discussion. Bill had been looking in the hospital and keeping track of what Bernie Sanders has been doing in the Senate. So we're going to pick up the conversation. You're going to notice a little difference in the audio. But we're going to pick up the conversation over with Bill and a little bit on his insights and what's happening with Bernie Sanders and current legislation in the U.S. Senate. So here we go. And here we are back on the Bill Show, and back from his stay in the glorious Australian medical
community.
how you doing, pal?
Oh, look, I'm doing great now. I must admit that again, another operation bites the dust.
Yeah. How much did you pay for that?
This time, I actually had a pharmacy bill when I left the second time.
Oh my God.
And, it cost me $152.
So $152 for your entire procedure?
Entire procedure and 10-day stay in the hospital.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you fill out any forms when you went in?
Yeah.
Any insurance forms?
No.
Okay, good.
No, just confirming who I was.
Yes.
Getting things stapled on my ears, RFID tags, so they knew who I was.
In case they lost you in a ventilation duct or something. Well, listen, this is, I just basically thought I'd come up because you're still recovering from surgery, but I thought you had a few observations that you had over this 2-week period.
Well,
we did a comedy show, you know, while you were away.
I am aware.
So now we're just getting serious again.
Okay.
It's back to depression. So what do you got for us today, Bill?
Well, one of the things that I'm really interested in is that there were a couple of events that happened recently. One, Bernie Sanders has really been speaking out about the banks, especially with Elizabeth Warren doing so much to promote asking the right questions for the first time in a long time of these regulators and of the people at the banks. And I think that what Bernie did, he posted a letter that I thought was really, really good on the Huffington Post and talked about this too big to jail issue.
Right.
You know, he quoted Attorney General Holder talking to a Senate Judiciary Committee. "I am concerned," says Holder, "that the size of some of these institutions have become so large that it does become difficult for us to prosecute them when we are hit with indications that if we do prosecute, if we do bring a criminal charge, it will have a negative impact on the national economy, perhaps even the world economy."
Yeah, and that's the too big to fail kind of thing is that corporations have gotten so large, specifically banks, you've gotten so large and so influential that you can't control them.
Well, there are, we're not talking about that many institutions here. We're talking about probably 13 to 20.
Right.
But of these companies, they're all in the financial industry. And if we can really call them banks, they're not what we traditionally think of as a bank. One of them, Citibank, basically, the American people should essentially own Citibank right now, just like we essentially own AIG.
Why should we own Citibank?
Well, because we bailed them out.
Right.
To the tune of over probably 80% of the money they have right now.
Right. So it should be nationalized.
It should be. And so should AIG, as we have with General Motors.
But we don't necessarily still have any knowledge as to what's actually going on inside the companies that we theoretically own. Isn't that right?
Well, no, we actually did do a full audit.
Yeah.
And so we have a pretty good idea now. But the problem is that even the largest banks, Take J.P. Morgan Chase. They're run by a guy called Jamie Dimon.
Yes, we've talked about Jamie Dimon.
We have.
In his great fun ways in the past.
You know, over the last several years, J.P. Morgan Chase had been playing in the European market based out of London in the city. Mm. Okay, now, essentially, this... this whale, the London whale, is a trading scandal, and essentially this scandal is kind of a big deal because Jamie Dimon actually signed off on the strategy that understated the risks being taken by the bank's traders, including Bruno Ixil, a derivatives trader known as the Whale, who worked out of the bank's tower at Canary Wharf in East London. After Ixil's losses were revealed last April, the report says that Jamie Dimon misled investors and the public about their nature. Now, he also, in the months leading up to the bank losing billions of dollars, Dimon ordered his underlings not to give the bank's regulators information they had requested. So what we've got going on here is that with these six banks, with these 10 banks, whether these 13 to 20 banks, these guys are, even the people who really know and understand this stuff are saying they're so complex that it's very, very hard to keep control of them. Mm. And evidence points to time and time again.
Yeah.
The people that are leading these organizations don't seem to understand what the word ethics or morals or values or principles are about.
What is this ethics you think of?
You know, so, look, I think Bernie Sanders has this right.
Yeah.
I just want to give kudos to Bernie.
Yep.
Kudos to Elizabeth Warren. There's actually, for a long time, Bernie has been all alone fighting this
battle. And I tell you something, Bernie Sanders is probably will go down as one of those guys. Remember, you had the one guy that voted against the Gulf of Tonkin, its resolution. And Bernie's going to be listed as one of those guys.
I also have great hopes for Elizabeth Warren still.
Mm.
Okay. I find it fascinating because Elizabeth Warren actually used to be a Republican.
I know. And that's how far the Republican Party's gone.
And now... I see her doing some of the neatest stuff. So, look, let's give kudos to those two. I think this is a good news story. Thanks, Bill.
A Bill salute to Bernie Sanders, the independent senator from Vermont, right here on The Bill Show. And we'll come back with more stuff. And it's good to have you back, Bill.
No worries.
Okay. We'll come back to you in just one moment. Yes, kids, it's time. That's our theme music, and it's time for us to check out the Tinfoil Hat Brigade. Yes, it's news and commentary that you listen to only because you hate your own head. And golly, I hated my head today. Our tinfoil hat today goes out to a person who's not really kind of crazy. The last one we did was Pat Robertson. Definitely crazy. And I think Frank the Pope might be up there too. But it is not someone who's crazy. Rather, someone who's, in the classic sense of the word, a prostitute. Not because she's a girl, not because she's pretty, not because she's blonde, but the fact that she's on Fox News. Okay? So hold your cards and letters. Basically, we're talking about the inimitable comedy stylings and cruelty and nastiness that is Ann Coulter, ladies and gentlemen. Ann Coulter was asked on the Sean Hannity rectal program to comment on a recent showdown that Dianne Feinstein had with a committee member over a question about guns. And evidently, Dianne Feinstein is really kind of pissed off about guns. I can't understand why. You can't understand why. But I want to drop into this, basically. This is what I heard, and Ann Coulter's take on it is purely just enough to win her a tinfoil hat. Here it is, the immortal Han Coulter on the Hannity program. I think it was during the two-week break that we haven't been on. Ladies and gentlemen, the amazing, the incredible Han Coulter.
Would she think that the Fourth Amendment's protection against searches and seizures could properly apply only to the following specified individuals and not to the individuals that Congress has deemed outside the protection of the Bill of Rights?
I'm not a sixth grader. Senator, I've been on this committee for 20 years. It's fine you want to lecture me on the Constitution. I appreciate it. Just know I've been here for a long time. I've passed on a number of bills. I've studied the Constitution myself. I am reasonably well educated, and I thank you for the lecture. Incidentally, this does not prohibit, you use the word prohibit, it exempts 2,271 weapons. Isn't that enough for the people in the United States?
Yeah, he asked some very important questions, and Dianne Feinstein, like her other I Am Woman, Hear Me Roar, Democratic female, Hillary Clinton, as soon as they get a question they don't like, they start crying. Oh, that's fantastic.
Oh, Anne. God, Anne. I really do hate you. I do. I mean, I'm sorry. I know that you get off on that, but I really do hate you. You know why Dianne Feinstein is so emotional about guns? I can't understand why she would be emotional about guns, really. Seriously. Why would she be start crying? Start crying. Like that woman hear me roar, Hillary Clinton. Yeah. Start crying. And here's maybe a reason, I don't know, that she might feel a little personally upset about guns.
In the total confusion after the shooting, the president of the Board of Supervisors, Dianne Feinstein, spoke.
Both Mayor Moscone and Supervisor Harvey Milk have been shot and killed. The suspect is Supervisor Dan White.
Yeah, I am. She bent over Harvey Milk's body and put her hand over the bleeding wound and checked to see if he was still alive after some nutcase shot him. Might be the reason, Anne. Might be the reason. Have you ever done that, Anne? Have you ever done that? Have you bent over somebody's body to check to see if they were alive, whether life's blood was seeping out of a bullet wound in their head? You ever did that? Oh, I don't think so. Didn't do that. Oh, really? Yeah, well. Ann Coulter, ladies and gentlemen. The risk of getting into a potty mouth syndrome, not a nice person. Jesus, these people. Anyway, that just depressed the hell out of me. Just depressed. I can't understand. Why would she be upset about guns? Oh, God, smug dickheads. Swear to God. Anyway, on that negative note, you know, last time was Pat Robertson. It was just a little bit lighter, you know. It wasn't venal, nasty, and evil like, you know, Ann Coulter. Anyway, if you want to reach us, you can. We're at www.thebillshowonxpr.blog.com. Haven't gotten into the blog for a very long time, but we are also on Facebook. Check us out on Facebook, and that is The Bill Show on XPR on Facebook. And we also tweet occasionally. The Bills on XPR is our tweet handle. And we are in the process of hopefully getting on Stitcher Radio, which is good. We've applied, and if they like us, I suppose they might let us join the club. If not, we're going to be continue here every couple of weeks having our little show. And our show is a bit short tonight, but that's the way it is. We thought we'd give you guys a rest. I think I talked your ear off last time. So anyway, I want to thank Bill for coming in and doing a segment, and we're going to have some more segments with Bill. And remember, if you have any ideas on what you want to see or hear on the show, just make sure to drop us a line, friend us, and like us on Facebook, The Bill Show on XPR. Until next time, I'm going to leave you with a little bit of the magic that I had this week when I went to see Bruce Springsteen. And I'll tell you something, in a very, very troublesome world, you need a couple hours of Bruce. Okay. Taking away with off the Wrecking Ball album. Get it. It's fabulous. The Boss, Mr. Bruce Springsteen. We'll see you next time, guys.
To the grave.